Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Don't forget Penn State football Saturday, Nittany Lions at Michigan State. Jack Hamm and I will be there with all the coverage beginning at 10:30 with the noon kickoff. Penn State 7th in the first college football playoff rankings. Bob Nightingale in a few moments. First of all, the topic with which Bob and I will be discussing, the Astros and the World Series. The final call from the Astros Radio Network is our play-by-play call of the day.
Here comes the 3-2. And George drills this one deep to left center field. You can kiss that one goodbye. A two-run home run for George Springer. And the Astros lead it 5-0. Springer homers for the fourth straight game.
Astros lead 5-1. Pitch on the way. Ground ball right side into the shift to his left. Altuve has it in short right. Throws to first. And the Astros are 2017 World Series champions.
Well, that's a long way from being the Houston Colt 45s. And joining us now is Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob, welcome back. It's great to hear you on the other end again.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
You watched this seven-game passion play out. Now you've had a chance to take a few breaths and reflect. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was just a very entertaining World Series. You know, it wasn't well pitched. The relievers really struggled, but yeah, just a fabulous series, and the best team won. I mean, Houston was a great team. Near 101 wins, and you got Justin Verlander at the trade deadline. So it's just this team can be around for a while. This team can be very scary.
You mentioned Verlander, and Verlander, once he got to Houston, went on a pretty good roll. Now, he didn't win a game in the World Series, but he was a big reason why they won the thing. Emotionally and as a veteran presence, what do you think he meant in that clubhouse with those young players?
Well, I think he just picked everybody up in the sense where, hey, we're going for it. You know, when the there's no way that they're going to win the division with or without him. But they weren't going to advance the World Series without him. And I think he just picked everybody up from, you know, Dallas Keuchel to the position players, Charlie Morton. It took the load off the other starters. And having a veteran guy like that, I just think everybody got so excited that, hey, the front office believes in us that we can do it. So let's do it.
There is a point in the World Series, Yuli Gurriel, which you wrote about in USA Today. Rob Manfred was really faced with that first moment as a commissioner where he's got something really touchy and significant to deal with. How do you think he did?
Yeah, I think he did fine. I know there's a lot of criticism, like, I need to be suspended during the World Series. But, you know, there's only a few games left in the World Series. I mean, you spend him for one game. You know, that would be like a $50 million. I'm sorry, a 50-game suspension. By suspending him during the season, you know, those fines or penalties have usually been 2 days. So this is 2.5 times, you know, the biggest. So 5-day penalty and without pay, $330,000. If he got paid during the World Series, it would have just been no money out of his pocketbook. So, and I think he paid a price anyway, just all the embarrassment and the way he was booed at Dodger Stadium. He's going to have to live this thing for a while.
How much do you think the commissioner's decision was helped by the class with which you, Darvish, handled it?
Oh, I think big time, Steve. I think if Darvish had handled it differently, I think he would have had a serve a game suspension in the World Series. I mean, the fact that he said, hey, that's fine. It's not the first time that's happened. He kind of grew up with that in Japan with his dad, Iranian. So yeah, I think some of it was a cultural difference as well, with Gurriel not quite understanding either what some of the words meant.
Three-run leads meant nothing during the course of this. You talk about the entertainment part. That's the long ball part of it. Is that a part that you enjoy, or do you enjoy the strategy part? What do you enjoy? What's good baseball to you, Bob?
Well, I enjoy the strategy and great pitching and just the game well played. The games in Houston were so entertaining. Game five we're talking about. But yet, at some point, they really feel like real baseball when guys are hitting one-handed home runs, balls flying everywhere. It just looked like a pinball machine out there, what was going on. And so, as entertaining that was, it wasn't like real baseball.
When you look at A.J. Hinch, you have to get by with what you have. He had to use a starter to close out Game 7 of the American League Championship Series, four innings, and he had to use a starter to close out Game 7 of the World Series between Good Colors and then Charlie Morton last night. What kind of interesting dynamic was it for you watching how each one of those played out?
Yeah, it was fascinating what Morton did. I mean, he won McCullers in games three, so we get him for game seven because he's a tough kid. And Charlie Morton would have been the better choice, going three and seven himself. But he came in, rescued McCullers, who had been struggling with his control, and really pitched lights out. I mean, if he had started the game, this guy might have gotten seven or eight innings as it was, even a short rest.
Now, we know Kershaw came in the game and pitched well. The one part that surprised – were you surprised at all that Morrow only got one batter? And because he was the next guy up, due up in the bottom half of the inning. Were you surprised by that early in the game?
Well, I know he's been worn out and stuff. He could have, but you need a pinch hitter. These scores some runs there. And, as it turned out, it didn't matter because Kershaw went four innings. So if Kershaw got hit around – yeah, it would have been a mistake. But I think that bullpen's so spent. And I think they paid a price in game two when they took out Rich Hill way too early when he was pitching well. Their bullpen never recovered.
We know analytics plays a big role in how the Astros were built, and obviously it's playing some role in how the Dodgers go about their work. Has it been an adjustment? Now, look, analytics goes back to the beginning of time. I mean, you hit 343 at the plate, that's analytics. If you break it down further as the way you do against lefty and righties, that's analytics. So you and I both go back, and we've always had those kind of numbers. Has it taken an adjustment for you at all, Bob, or has it been easy for you to get used to how analytics work in today's game?
Well, it's an adjustment, and some of it doesn't make sense. I mean, when you pay, say, Jason Hayward, getting $180 million just to play defense and hit six home runs, then you have a guy like Justin Upton, who cranks 35 home runs, is making a lot less money. You still, I think sometimes analytics get caught up on not knowing a person's character, personality, the clubhouse culture. And those things are important. And I think analytics also pays too much weight on base percentage. It's like you still got to score runs and drive them in. It doesn't matter how many times you're on base if you're standing there without doing anything else. So analytics approach. The best player in analytics history would be Eddie Goodell. You remember the little midget who got a walk and 1,000 on base percentage.
So, oh, my goodness. I see Bill Beck now and say, yeah, that's right, Bob.
right. Bill Beck was a genius.
Yeah, he's a genius. He knew sabermetrics long before anybody else.
right.
I was doing a game. Besides Penn State football and basketball, I also in the summer I'll do minor league baseball at the State College Spikes at the Cardinals affiliate. And Ollie Marmol, who's now the first base coach for the Cardinals, was managing the team. And they got to a game where a guy that I felt, just based traditionally, that I thought was a first or second place hitter, or maybe a nine if you want to turn the order around, he was batting him sixth. So I asked him one day, why are you batting him sixth? And he said, in analytics, and this he's talking about the front office now, talking to him, the number two and six spots in the batting order are really important. For me, Bob, that's an adjustment trying to think that way because traditionally I don't think that way. What about you with batting orders being determined, pitchers going through the third time of the order and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like the third time in the order, that's where they took out, you know, Rich Hill. And Rich Hill had the lowest, you know, the best, lowest batting average of anybody in baseball going through the order three times. Yeah, I think what it likes does is just run by computer. It takes away kind of what you're seeing with your own eyes and stuff like that. I mean, I don't need to see a computer or scout see a computer say, you're talking about exit velocity and things like that. Hey, when a guy gets a line drive, I know it's good exit velocity. You know, sometimes those things hurt. You know, it's like, you know, with the way that exit velocity is now, a guy gets penalized if he has one or two blue pits in a game. I mean, it's better to strike out if your exit velocity.
Right.
So, yeah, some of that stuff is out of control. And I think, you know, we're seeing the managers just don't have the same power as they used to. And some of these things are being run by front offices. You know, well, let's watch to see who the Yankees hire as their manager. You know, I guarantee you someone that's going to be just, you know, taking direction from whatever they want the lineups to be and everything else.
Yeah, and that was going to actually be my next point, Bob. I was wondering, is Joe Girardi in some ways, not completely, but in some ways a victim of not being an analytics-era guy?
You know, the funny thing is he kind of is. I mean, he's into it a lot more than other guys. But he won. I mean, Dusty Baker, yeah, he's not an analytic guy, but he won 95 and 97 games and two division titles. So some of the stuff is just, it doesn't make sense.
Okay, what's the offseason going to be like? There's not a lot of offseason here. Obviously, the winter meetings are coming up in Orlando in a bit, and there's going to be free agency and so forth. But is this will be a little bit of a time for you to decompress a bit? And if so, how do you?
Yeah, it just never ends, really. I mean, the GM meetings start in a week in Orlando. 2 weeks later, you have the winter meetings. So you still have the hot stove thing. I mean, even, you know, this morning I get a call at 9:15 to say, hey, by the way, we're about to sign Justin Upton to his new contract. You know, I just woke up in the World Series, and now it's the hot stove league.
Bob, you know, we've seen what's happened with the NFL. The NBA's done better as well. What do you think baseball's positioned itself now, especially after the last two, you know, seasons where the Cubs won dramatically, the Astros won dramatically, it was entertainment. What do you think baseball is now, right now?
I think with the way, I do think the ball is juiced, but I think the way the baseball was, the high-scoring games, I think it's very popular. I mean, the TV ratings were high, not as high as the Cubs a year ago, but still very high. You know, they had some weather problems this year with a lot of rain, but still, our tennis is, you know, top five or top six of all time. So I think it's very, very popular sport. And, you know, and you watch in about 2 weeks here, we're going to see the implementation of a pitch clock, limit visits to the mound, and everything else. They're going to try to speed this thing up.
And I want to ask you about that. Is that between that possibility and then fewer mound visits, which is essentially your timeouts, is it something you endorse and is good for the game, or are you okay with the pace of what we're seeing?
I'm okay with the pace. You know, I mean, that game we had in the 10-inning game in Game 5, it was almost 5 hours, but it was entertaining 5 hours. I mean, it was a blast to watch. And what slows it down, of course, is you have a well-pitched game and a catcher goes a mound incessantly. That there's no need for that. Sometimes that can really slow the game down. And I think the pitch clock, I don't think it's that big a deal. And I do think that pitchers will adjust to it in a hurry. Because you're talking minor league guys that come up and they've been pitching with it. They say you get used to it.
Absolute pleasure. I know you had to take some time the day after doing a lot of work to come on and the show and talk with us, and I appreciate it very much. Great respect for your work, Bob. Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
Bob Nightingale, outstanding from USA Today, one of the best in the business as we look back on the World Series and we look back on Major League Baseball with somebody who is there and has a complete handle on it all the time. We'll come back, picks in the final half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on the show. Picks final half hour. And then off to East Lansing. Yeah. Penn State and Michigan State coming up on Saturday. Brian Lewerke's done a lot for them at quarterback. I mean, you watch some of the plays he's able to make with his feet. It's really interesting, though, for their defense. And this doesn't quite match up. And this is where, for their defense, it doesn't quite match up. Their run defense has been excellent this year. I mean, I think Justin Jackson is a really good running back for Northwestern, and they completely held him in check. And their run defense, I think they're giving up, I want to say, 87, 88 yards a game rushing. That's outstanding. But you know what doesn't add up for them? They don't get a lot of sacks. Normally, when you're a team that's a great rush defense, and of course then you force teams into throwing the football, you then start racking up sacks. They don't have a lot of sacks. That's really one of the odd things about it. L.J. Scott's had a good year, not a great year at running back for them. Good year, but not great year. They have real size at wide receiver. Felton Davis, Stewart, and the true freshman Cody White. They've got some guys that have some size in the three wideouts that they have. And they'll run eight plays a game that will be reverses or unbalanced lines or something. They'll be just different. And they played eight games. They've had 67 plays. That's eight a game like that this year. And Lewerke, by the way, is a, I want to say he's a 41% passer under pressure. You don't put pressure on him, he'll pick you. Bang, 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 bang. So you have to get some pressure on him. You have to. You have no choice. He played a fabulous game against Northwestern. I mean, they did a good job of hitting, you name every soft zone, but the key with his legs, even though he's the second leading rusher this season for Michigan State, behind L.J. Scott, it's his ability to keep plays alive. That's a big difference for Michigan State. And that's what Trace McSorley does for Penn State. Trace McSorley does a great job of keeping plays alive, which then in turn is that bailout for the offensive line. That's big. That's big. Well, which team can make the other one-dimensional quicker on Saturday? That's going to be the key as I look at it. You got to get out of the gate, too. You got to be, again, you got to go on the road. You have to play with the lead. You have to play with the lead. I know Penn State played with the lead almost the entire game on Saturday. But again, you have to play with the lead in this game. At least that's how I look at it. You know, turnovers will be important. But I mean, Penn State's a plus 14 this year on giveaway takeaway. I mean, you look at, here's the odd thing about last Saturday. Well, let's go through it. You want to win the turnover battle. Check Penn State. Two takeaways. Penn State did not turn over the ball. You want to have better field position. Penn State started from the 40-yard line in the average. Ohio State started from the 33. Box checked. You want to play the game with the lead. Penn State, box checked. They did all these things that normally lead to you winning games. It's just one of those really odd games where even when you checked all the boxes, it wasn't enough to check the big box and win it. Field position, fine. Playing with the lead, fine. Giveaway, takeaway, fine. but I'll tell you the one area, here's where Penn State didn't win. Penn State did not win in an area they usually win. That's explosive plays at 20 yards or better. Ohio State had more of them. That was huge in this game. Penn State has 67 plays of 20 yards or better this year. By the way, Saquon Barkley has 22 of them. That's what they've got going into it. We'll see. All right, picks final half hour. So the suit get back in the building, or are we just...
If he did, he turned the other quarter to the other side of the building. I have not seen him.
Maybe we should call Movie Mike and see if he has company.
Okay.
What? It's just an honest question.
Well, no, yeah. it's an astute observation, because once he hung up with us, you know, where did he go from there? There or here?
Well, weren't you listening to the call? Didn't you hear at the end when I said, "Hey, thanks so much. Your popcorn is ready."
I missed that.
I can hear it in the background. I mean, I can hear them putting more butter in.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Absolute pleasure to be with you on this Thursday. Off to East Lansing. Penn State and Michigan State coming up on Saturday at noon, where I'm beginning at 10:30. And time now to bring in the mystic from the east, the seer of all seers, the sage of all sages, Sean Carey. My brother.
Actually, he thought we were going to do this tomorrow. I threw him off guard when I called him here a minute ago.
Well, tomorrow's a travel day.
Yes.
So.
Well, that's my bad.
I'm not going anywhere, man. I'll be here.
I normally specify, though. But I normally specify in the text I send to you guys with the picks that we're definitely going to be on this day, this time, and I did not do that, so.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
No, doesn't matter to me. I'm here. It's a good thing I was here. I love going to Subway.
An opportunity to eat fresh.
Go tomorrow. They're doing
this
big...
My lovely wife just called and said, "Let's get Subway." I said, "Okay." Then I thought it was her calling back to say, "Oh, let's try something else." It was Sean.
It definitely is doing something else.
Go tomorrow. They're doing a big BOGO deal tomorrow. It's a big nationwide thing they're doing.
Oh, that's tomorrow?
It is tomorrow.
Oh, I thought it was today.
I thought it was tomorrow.
Yeah. I was going to donate my sandwich anyway to it. Okay. So.
Then again, you thought we were doing this tomorrow, so.
Now I'm confused.
Great. I've got them right where I want them.
Yes, you do.
Confused. It's taken me weeks to get them to this point.
It's worked. Well, congratulations. You pitched the shutout.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not really the one I wanted, so I'll leave it at that.
If you had the choice.
That was tough, man. That was
very tough.
Well, I'll tell you, with 5 minutes left in the game, I had to go to a dance recital. And, man, I hung out as long as I could. So I tell her, bring your phone. And we'll just follow the rest of the game. Penn State was up by 11, whatever,
yes.
10,
11.
With 5 minutes left. We're on Route 91, and we're just outside of Hartford. I'd say, okay, what do we got? She said, well, it's 38-33. How much time left? She goes, 2 minutes. Then we get off the Capitol Ave exit. I said, how much time left? She goes, 2 minutes. I said, that's not good, man.
Yeah. All right.
Now we can't find the darn place. We're going up and down Washington Street in Hartford, and I know you people don't know Hartford, but it is not the nicest place in the world. and we can't find the dance recital place. And I'm getting madder and madder and madder. And then after four tries, I said, let's just go home. It's 8 o'clock. And I said, so look up the score. And she said, I already did. So that's not good. She goes, oh, they lost 39-38. I thought, oh, my God, what a crappy night. And I taped it. We got home, she erased it, so I wouldn't watch. I haven't seen the end. So, I'm sorry.
If it makes you feel better, if it makes you feel better, I did. So.
Yeah, I know. So, I didn't want to see it. That was the only good thing. If I saw it, I'd have been like, oh, my God, I can't. Well, it's sports. What are you going to do? We've all seen it. Look at the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
I got up on Sunday morning and I worked on Michigan State, which I would have exactly what I would have done anyway. So,
yeah. Hey, it's sports. You know, you could be the Atlanta Falcons and have a 24-point lead in the Super Bowl and lose. You know, that's the way it goes. That's why they play the game. So,
yep.
They're still in it.
Yep.
And need a little bit of help. So.
Yep.
Got to stay positive. Got to win out. So.
Well, starts this week. So it'll be at noon on Saturday. We'll be on at 10:30. All right. So let's get to the picks because I know you texted it. And you know darn well I didn't look at it, so
it's one text of mine you don't see, and I have no
neither did I. So.
Yeah. So I mean, really, this would be the blind leading the blind
ago.
Today.
Yeah,
it's my chance now to pounce.
Right? This is
John's
absolute darkness in the woods here.
Figured out now. Don't tell him the games ever.
All right. Well, as I said earlier this year, you know, Kevin, one week you went 6-0. I was able to clean the deck 6-0, and last week it was Steve's turn. Steve 6-0. I was 3-3. Kevin, you were 2-4, and that leads us to this.
Please follow Sir Brad. He's going to give you a private tour of the pit of misery.
Pit
of misery. Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Oh, that's
commercial,
so funny.
That
I'm
commercial cracks
here.
Me up. That commercial cracks me up.
Pit of misery. Dilly dilly.
So Jack Ham and I were in the booth the other day. We're like, dilly dilly.
That'll go to the third place finisher now every week the rest of the way.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you what I said when I put the Washington-Dallas game on and that the entire Washington team is injured. And I'm like, I picked Washington. They're playing their practice squad. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Fabulous.
I'm screwed.
So. All right, so here's where we are after 8 weeks. Kevin, you are still holding the lead, 33-20. But, yes, we're closing in on you. I'm now one behind, 32-31. And thanks to the scintillating 6-0 from Steve. Steve now only behind by two, sitting at 31-22.
Dilly dilly.
Ye of little faith, just a couple of weeks ago, I said, hey, you're going to turn this thing around, and look what you did.
Fabulous.
Brilliant turnaround.
Yes. Brilliant. All right. Yeah, really, I feel like it's the March of the Sea.
All right, so we normally do our six-pack of games, but this week we're going to do four college, two pro. The pro menu on Sunday just wasn't jumping off my screen on my phone, so we'll go with four college games instead for this weekend. We'll jump into the Big Ten first. Ohio State, they now move on, go to Kinnick Stadium to take on Iowa. That'll be 3:30 on Saturday.
I got to write these down, so it's okay. And who are they playing?
Ohio State at Iowa.
Who's going first?
Since you are leading, you go first.
Okay, let me set up my little chart here, because I do not have my notebook, which is just... Okay, I got Ohio State.
All right, me too.
Very close game for the most part, but Iowa State has more players. Ohio State wins.
All right, another 3:30 game on Saturday. Clemson at North Carolina State. NC State, of course, coming off that rough loss on the road to Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm not impressed by North Carolina State at all.
I'm not a big NC State guy at all. I really am not.
I almost took the bait on that last week, though.
No. Really, their best win this year is Florida State. That's everybody's best win.
Yeah.
That's Alabama's best win. That's everybody. It's, you know, Clemson.
Me too, Clemson.
Me too, Clemson.
Okay. Bedlam, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. This game's going to be on not on Fox, but on FS1. 4 o'clock on Saturday.
I'm going to take Oklahoma. I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield.
Well, I'm going with Oklahoma State.
Me too.
I'm gonna take Oklahoma State in this game. I'll tell you,
if you just look at the numbers, he's better than Baker Mayfield at this point.
Mason Rudolph. Yeah.
He's a good guy, good quarterback.
Good quarterback, good style of play. Believe it or not, I think Oklahoma State's defense. I know I'm using the words defense and Big 12 in the same sentence.
Insert laugh here.
No, it's like the Senate Intelligence Committee. The words don't go together. So you sit there and you look at it. I think Oklahoma State's defense just a little bit better. Not much, but a little bit. Oklahoma State.
Who's the home team?
Oklahoma State.
Oh, Kevin. Jeez. Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm gonna call an audible here on the fly. We were gonna pick Stanford, Washington State. But we'll go with the ABC primetime game Saturday night instead, which is Virginia Tech and Miami.
The game is in Miami?
Correct.
I got Miami.
Miami has no home field advantage, not for a game like this. I mean, the stadium is 20 miles away from campus. I really like Virginia Tech's team. I'm going to go with Virginia Tech.
Man, I'm on the fence on this. Maybe I shouldn't have called the audible after all. Ugh.
Hey, you're running this thing.
I know. Yeah, but I've taken Virginia Tech before and I've gotten burned.
All right, then take Miami.
Thanks, Notre Dame.
I have all the respect in the world for Mark Richt, but for a team right now, that's undefeated, they're really flying under the radar, aren't they? You'd think a Miami undefeated team would be making a lot more noise than this.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what's their best win? Toledo. Toledo is Miami's best win. Toledo's 7-1. That's the best win they've had this year.
I got Virginia Tech.
I mean, it's not my job to talk you into something. but in terms of how people look at the college football playoff, which we have to do, that's one of the first things I look at Miami. What's their best win? Just like when I talk about Wisconsin. Wisconsin's behind Penn State. Well, why are they behind Penn State? Well, A, playing in the Big Ten West, you are not helped. You don't have quality wins playing in the Big Ten West. Now you get to their non-conference schedule, and you know these things are made up years in advance. But when they made up the schedule and put BYU on there, that's a pretty good game to put on there. And it turned out BYU right now is not good. So that game doesn't help. And so Wisconsin does not get a lot of schedule help, and Miami doesn't get a lot of schedule help. That's why they're both behind Penn State.
Where's Penn State's non-conference schedule good?
No, I'm saying, but Penn State's played Michigan, they played Ohio State.
That's what's going to kill them, in my opinion.
Well, see, but Penn State's played Michigan, they played Ohio State.
Well, yeah, that's Wisconsin, true, but I'm saying right, see, Wisconsin doesn't, killing them.
Right, but Wisconsin doesn't have that because their games are Purdue, Illinois,
right,
Minnesota.
Right, yeah,
see what I mean? Yep. Now you get to Miami. Miami, yep. Florida State's way down. Right, they're having where they have two wins, so that game doesn't help them.
Right,
and so they're not getting help within their division as to how they play in conference. So that then takes you to the out of conference. Well, mm-hmm. Their best win on the season total is Toledo.
Mm. Not good.
Which one did you take, Kevin?
I took Miami.
Okay.
I've got to be in last place next week, so go ahead.
No, you may win all these. I don't know. I was just explaining the logic as to why.
Your points are valid.
Why Wisconsin?
I took the Redskins over the Cowboys.
Well, I'm pointing out why Wisconsin and Miami are behind a one-loss Penn State. And that's why they are. When you look at the schedule breakdown,
right,
they have not exactly had to go through a minefield to get to the undefeated season.
So, Kevin, what you're trying to say, you're going to head for...
Pit of misery! Dilly-dilly!
Yes! Yes, Sir Brad. Thank you, Sir Brad.
All right, I was able to find a couple of at least NFL games I thought looked kind of good for Sunday. Tampa Bay and New Orleans.
No, I got New Orleans.
Yeah, I do too.
I have New Orleans as well. I don't like Tampa Bay's team.
No.
Something
very
about
surprised.
Them that is. Yeah, something about them is not quite right.
And Kansas City at the Cowboys.
I got Kansas City.
Yep, I do too, for a very specific reason. And
oh,
you guys know what
he's
it is.
He's not playing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is this not why? What's your specific reason?
Oh, about Zeke Elliott.
Is he playing this week or not?
In case another judge happens to chime in between now and Sunday, at this point he is not.
And I do believe they just got Tamba Hali off the physically unable to perform list.
Oh, that's right, because he had to stay minimum 8 weeks. Minimum of 8 weeks, right?
Yeah, Tamba's back. It's one of the. Ever hear the Tamba Hali story when he was at Penn State? Tamba Hali grew up. I want to say Ivory Coast. You know, they've had war there. Taylor, the Charles Taylor, brutal dictator. And I mean, Tamba endured gunfire and everything like that. And Tamba's father got him to New Jersey, finally. And he played high school football there, I think a year, maybe two of high school football. Penn State recruited him, he comes here. And so Joe Paterno gets up at a team meeting and he says, look, I want everybody, look, haircut, no beards, anything like that. He said, all except for Tamba. Tamba did not grow up in the United States. It's okay. So he's exempt, just out of respect to where he grew up. Next day they come in, Tamba Hali's hair is short like everybody else's. It's just the kind of guy he is. So good to see him back. I'm picking, with all that said, I'll roll the dice and I'll take Dallas because the game's in Arlington, right?
Yes.
I'll roll the dice. I'll take Dallas. What the heck? Just to get a little bit of difference and see if something comes of it.
Yeah, when you brought up Tamba Hali, I'll just always have that picture of he and Coach Paterno with Tamba in his cap and gown, and they're standing there in the tunnel in Beaver Stadium, both smiling. That's just amazing.
Exactly. Live forever. Tamba got his degree, was here, and he's had a really, really good NFL career. But I just, see something like that. I just wanted to tell the story. I mean, I'll pick Dallas. I'll roll the dice. They're playing at home. Why not? If they were playing the Giants, though, I would have picked the Giants.
Yes, you would have.
Because at some point,
they're playing the Giants, Steve.
But I think the Giants will beat the Rams this week.
Oh, God. That's a sleeper, huh?
That's been one of the surprises so far this season, the Rams.
It is, but here's my reasoning behind it. It's a 1 o'clock game in the East. And I think that plays a role where the body clock of the opposing team is 10 a.m.
True. That's true.
But they got off to a 3-1 start last year, so I'm just being cautious buying into them right now.
I mean, I give Goff a lot of credit. I think Gurley's really good. I think they made some good moves with that team. My big reason for thinking the Giants will beat the Rams, a lot of it has to do with the kickoff time. West Coast teams playing in the East Coast normally has been a recipe for disaster.
But getting back to the Rams, with Jeff Fisher a defensive-minded coach, even though being the head coach, maybe that had something to do with Jared Goff not having making a splash in his rookie year last year.
They never gave him a chance. Did you see... what do you call it?
Hard Knocks.
HBO. Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
They never really gave Goff a chance. That they kind of like, he's a
believe
rookie.
Me.
He
believe,
needs another year. He needs
believe
a...
me, I know all about that show. All of it. Okay? Shannon, I know her very well. Okay, she produced it. So believe me, I have stories.
Former student, right? Former student of yours, right?
Not a former student of mine, but you know, but she's a Penn State grad.
Okay,
and I've known her for a few years now. All right. I have stories. I mean, a lot of stuff that is on the cutting room floor that didn't make the show. I think when's the last time I saw Shannon? I think 2 weeks ago. She was here for the Michigan game. They've been doing Tampa Bay this year. Oh, yeah.
Whatever happened to that girl who was at your ceremony for the...
She's doing TV.
Really?
She's doing TV.
As you
can
tell,
yeah.
She was going to go places. She...
Yeah.
Oh.
She's doing TV, not here, but at a local affiliate. I think I want to say she's in the Philly area right now. She's very good. And Amanda Gifford, of course, Amanda Gifford Lockwood, who was in my first class, she's the one that runs ESPN Radio now. I mean, she runs it. Yeah.
So what's going on with Mike and Mike in the morning? Is Mike leaving?
Well, you know what? His TV show got delayed.
Again?
They are not ready. They were going to start this thing right around the 1st of January, or, you know, whatever, the 2nd of January, 3rd of January.
I heard that too, yeah.
Right? And they're not ready. They were trying. They want to build a studio for him in New York, and that's not ready. And I think they wanted Trey Wingo to take over right around now. Well, you notice there's not has been as much Trey Wingo on lately.
They had a commercial today saying Mike Olick and Trey Wingo starting November is,
end of the
you
month.
Know, late November. So
yeah, so they pushed it back. So Golick's going to get his Greenberg's going to get his TV show, but not as quickly as everybody thought.
And that's one of the reasons why they brought Sage Steele in for the 7 o'clock Sports Center, just to get her in that time frame for a couple of months before joining Greeny on his new show.
Huh.
I'd have just taken the two of them and just pushed them over to that side there and turned it into the same show just in a studio format. But that's just me. I mean, because I think it's a combination that works.
They have serious problems. So I don't know. They're getting dropped everywhere. So
You know what? Here's what I think the problem is, Kev and Sean. And this has happened with the NFL as well. They've each run into roadblocks along the way. And I liken them to Tiger Woods and how Tiger Woods played golf. When Tiger Woods was at his peak and really rolling and was invincible, he was always taking shots to then set up the next shot and the next shot after that. He was always thinking a couple of shots ahead. When Tiger Woods started struggling, it was when he was taking a shot, and as he took it, he wasn't sure where the shot was going. And then had to think about what the next shot was going to be as he was approaching the ball. To me, that's the NFL and ESPN right now. I think they thought ahead. They played the game well. They were usually two shots ahead. Now I feel like whenever it comes to decisions, they're guessing.
I think you're right. And they make... Look what they did to... who's the pitcher?
Kurt Schilling?
Yeah, Kurt Schilling.
Yeah.
For a stupid tweet, you know, and he's fired. And then that girl who's on at night, whose show is unwatchable.
Jemele Hill?
Unwatchable. She gets a little slap on the wrist for saying deplorable things because they're afraid. And that she's a black woman. We cannot do anything to a black woman, or we are going to get in all kinds of trouble, and Al Sharpton's going to be here, and all kinds of stuff. So they don't follow their own lead. Yet Kurt Schilling was fired. You're gone. You're not coming back for a tweet. You know.
Well, like I said, when it comes to decisions, and I mean, and decisions clear, like the NBA. I mean, that's a $1.4 billion investment. Their NFL contract is $1.9 billion. Now, $350 million of that happens to be the liberal use of highlights. But still, they've overpaid dramatically.
Yeah.
And I think that's because they've been guessing. and they get themselves into trouble, and they have not found a formula to get them out of cord cutting, and they have not been able to get a, you mentioned discipline. Discipline has been erratic depending on circumstance and so forth. And nothing's been consistent with them.
And it's ironic it's ironic you bring up discipline, Steve. I saw on Twitter earlier today, I see ESPN updated their rules as to how their employees are to use social media.
Right.
Well, if everything goes as planned, they'll get one of their football announcers to snap like that guy.
sent me that video.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, he sent me a video, Kevin sent me a text, and he said, don't snap like that. I said, I won't.